League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So here we go, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the Cowie Army share their thoughts on all things town. And of course, Kings of Anglia is sponsored by Manscaped and Ginger Pickle. Shout out to Tony Southgate and the team. Are you feeling the end of season blues already? I am. I'm missing Portland Road. I'm missing going to away games. But we're going to bring you all the Cowie content as ever throughout the off-season. I'm joined by Bloomers and Liam from Crew to discuss the season, bring out some awards, talk about League One as a whole. Four seasons in League One is now done. We're back in the Championship. Let's bring over good old Bloomers. Always a pleasure, my friend. Still recovering from your ACL surgery, but you gave us some good news. You've been given the somewhat all clear. Let us know, but how's things, my friend?
Very good, thanks, Ross. And as always, it's a pleasure. Yeah, well, hopefully back doing some non-competitive five-a-side in the summer, but if anyone has ever played five-a-side, there's no such thing as non-competitive five-a-side, especially with you boys. So I'm not quite sure how that's going to go, but yeah, all good. Missing Ipswich as well, but I must say I'm not quite getting the blues just yet. I think there's enough football to bide us through for another few weeks, but once it hits to the sort of end of June mark and the fixtures come out, which I think is the day before my birthday this year, I'll already be planning on which away days to go, and also the best way to utilise my brand new season ticket for 22-23. So plenty to look forward to.
Indeed, my friend. Yeah, we don't have to worry about the playoffs. The lottery, that is the playoffs. We can just sit back and relax and laugh. One particular team, but we won't bring them up just yet. I'll let Liam do that. I'll let Liam do that. Liam from Crew, always a pleasure, my friend. How's things?
Not too bad. Football's still going on for me. Went to Wembley yesterday with good old Paul. Went to watch United's women play Chelsea.
And lost.
Yes, they lost. But it was a good day. It was a good day out. Actually found a very good tube station, actually, to go to, which made it a lot quicker than having to travel all the way across London. So, especially with the A12 shut as well.
He's not going to tell us his secrets.
I'm not telling... Secrets, flipping it. I remember the last secret you gave me that took us all the way around the back end of darkest Cambridgeshire.
We had just won 3-0 away at Barnsley though. So
well, yeah, I'll give you that.
That's how you get away with it.
But overall, pretty good. I've got another game tomorrow night for Needham's women, and then I'll be going to the Scottish Cup final in 3 weeks' time. So football hasn't stopped for me, but I am quite happy with a little break, seeing as though everyone that I seem to drive can't drive themselves. And so it's all left to muggins here. But it's nice
that
to
was,
actually...
That was actually a shot at Ross and not me. Just want to point out that I can drive.
I
just don't own a car.
This is a shot at Ross and Paul. But more at Ross, because Paul, well, he just doesn't drive. Whereas Ross is trying to drive. And I'm waiting for the day that he tells me that he's actually got his license so that he can do some of the driving next year.
Yes, very true. I think one of the reasons, Bloom, is you don't have a car, of course, you're based in London. And yes, there's no point driving in London, of course. I haven't got that excuse when I do pass and stuff. I can't say, Liam, oh, sorry, mate. No, too busy in Kesgrave. That will be the day, I'm sure. Well, enough of that. Let's get right into the awards. It's been an awards season last week, basically for ages, really. But an opportunity now for Bloomers, Liam, and myself to bring out some awards. We've got the standard, Player of the Year, Most Improved, Unsung Hero, Best Signing, Best Goal, 101 goals to choose from in the league, Best Game, Best Away Day, and some other categories that Bloomers or Liam may chuck our way. Play at home as well. Let us know who you're going to give out your award. So I'm going to start off, of course, with the first one, the Player of the Year. Connor Chaplin has won the official one, but who's going to pick the Cowway Posse's official Player of the Year? Bloomers, who are you choosing and why?
Well, I'm really sorry to be boring, but unfortunately, I can't disagree with the club's official choice. I think it has to be Connor Chaplin, and I think it's more than richly deserved. I mean, 20 more goals than anyone since Daryl Murphy in 2014-15. I think it's 28 goals he ended up on.
Seven.
27 goals. So else we equal Daryl Murphy then?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, no, I have it that he got more. Okay, well, I'm wrong. It's a good thing that Connor Chaplin was more on target with his shooting than I am with my stats, which normally I'm good with. But yeah, I mean, you look at the start of last season under Paul Cook, if you can believe that was the start of last season. I think, especially after a few games, I think more people would have been more excited with Macaulay Bond than Connor Chaplin. Like, Chaplin clearly had promise and clearly had shown that he had ability in a higher division when he played for Barnsley. But it was a solid campaign from him last season, or 21-22. And no one expected him to get 27 goals this season. Well, I can't believe anyone would have done. If he did, fair play, show the receipts and you're quite rightly able to celebrate that. But the fact that he's managed to become this focal point for our attack when he's not a striker, an out-and-out striker, it's a testament to how good he is at understanding what his role is within the team. It's a testament to Kieran McKenna for finding the best way to get Connor Chaplin in amongst the goals. And it just goes to show the method that we've picked, our plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G, which is all just plan A, does bear fruit. And it's bore fruit 101 times in the season. And yeah, Connor Chaplin more than deserves all the plaudits coming his way, and probably deserves a look at from other scouts. I'm sure there has been scouts sniffing around him. No news so far that any of our current squad will be going elsewhere, but you know that there'll be rumours between now and the start of next season. Just enjoy Connor Chaplin while we have him. If he does go on, there'll be a reason for it and there'll be a financial gain for it. But all you can do right now is look back on with so much pride in a season where, you know, he's just become probably League One's most clinical finisher. I you know, there might be better strikers than him. You could argue Johnson Clark-Harris is a better striker than him on account of him being an actual out-and-out striker. But there's so much to love about the way that he just is so clinical in front of goal. And that's been a massive part of the second half of the season, where for all the bumps over Christmas where we weren't scoring goals, or the gluttony of goals that came post-February, The key part of that is every time we had a chance, we almost always took it. And Chaplin was one of those ones who's just fantastic and was doing a little bit of everything. And to finish off, I have not had a direct dealing with him. I know you certainly have, Ross. I'm sure a lot of the KOA army have, and people listening at home will have at least had a conversation with the man. He just seems like the most honest, genuine, down-to-earth, nice bloke. And I know he does so much behind the scenes for the community. And I believe he's a patron of at least one of the branches that we have. And,
Foundation,
And they couldn't have picked a better person. And he seems so happy to be doing that and enjoys and understands that side of being a professional footballer in this day and age. And he's just a fantastic ambassador for the club. So there you go, Connor. If you ever do need to move away from Ipswich, just replay that clip for anyone for 2 or 3 minutes and they'll be falling at your feet. But please do stay, because we've loved seeing you play and can't wait to see what you're going to do in the Championship next season.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm most looking forward to, is these players, most of these players going to the Championship and see how they get on. But yeah, on and off the pitch, Connor Chaplin has been fantastic and deserving of Player of the Year from the fans and from you, Bloomers. Liam, from Crewe, are you going to switch up or are you going to echo Bloomers?
Well, that's a great argument from Bloomers, apart from the fact that he turned it into an advertising campaign for every other club at the end there. But for me, I mean, it's hard to argue with Chappers, but for me, it's got to be Sam Morsy, because I think it is really difficult when a player has scored that many goals that you wouldn't give him the Player of the Year. But I just think with Sam Morsy, we're talking about the heartbeat of the team. And without him, and I know the sample size is very, very small because he's played pretty much every single game, apart from obviously Fleetwood. And there were mitigating factors against Fleetwood on the last day. Bit of a kind of after the Lord Mayor show kind of thing. But it did show that when Morsi wasn't in the middle, we do lack something there. Luongo's been brilliant since he came in, but it's Sam Morsi all the way that drives that team. And yeah, Chaplin probably does still score those goals if Morsi isn't in the team. Or maybe he doesn't score as many. But for me, Sam Morsi is the most important and most valuable player in that side, which is shown by the fact that even in the FA Cup in the early rounds, he was played. So, yeah, you have to... I mean, he did get a break in the Pizza Trophy, so that's something there. But he has to be, for me, the best... He is the most key part of this squad and will continue to be the key part of this squad going forward. So for me, a lot of this success is based on his drive and his quality as a captain to lead this team forward.
Yeah, he's my choice for player of the year because he has scored a few goals and has been, yeah, I'm about to say captain fantastic, that's Matt Hollins. Thinking, but he has been just this year, he's been unbelievable, even off the pitch as well. Some of the stuff I've heard he's done has been incredible. So, big shout out to Sam Morsi, and he's getting my pick. So, yeah, I think the whole squad they deserve a lot of praise because this has been the best squad we've had for generations. Probably Bloomers, you and me, probably the best squad we've seen for a very long time.
I mean, you certainly it's the classic argument of there are teams that didn't succeed, finishing the top six of the championship, does that equate to being better or more successful than a team that finished second in League One? It's a stupid, pointless argument that we won't have.
Let's not. I'm joking.
Let's celebrate this group of footballers that have done something that no Ipswich team has done since 1992 and get automatically promoted. Mm-hmm. That's good enough for me to say it's the best, one of the best squads in a generation, certainly.
Definitely. And it's been a most improved season because the previous four seasons of League One, or previous three seasons, because this is our fourth one, 11th, 11th, 9th, all that stuff. So we've had a lot of players improved, but Bloomers, who is your most improved player this year?
Another one that I think might be a general consensus pick, but I'm not going to do anything too avant-garde. I think it's, for me, Cameron Burgess. Someone that made appearances in probably half of our games last 21-22. Certainly wasn't a, you know, Luke Chambers 46 game a season man. And even at the start of this season, he had that horrendous facial injury against team escapes me. I think it was a cup game. And yeah, we all thought that you're not going to see him for very long. So you had George Edmondson as well at the club, you know, not a given for him to be starting, no matter what the circumstances were. But he's come back in, and again, second half of the season when everyone started finding their position within our squad, and Kieran McKenna finally started playing a settled team once he realised who his best starting 11 was. Burgess was, you know, front and centre every week. And he is just as much a person to be applauded for that insane run of clean sheets we had, along with Christian Walton, because him and Luke Wolfenden and Harry Clark, you know, form the bedrock for that success. And his goal against Bolton, fantastic moment, one that, you know, sealed a very important win at the time. And we didn't even realise at the time how important it was going to be, but it was a springboard to just much bigger and better things. And yeah, he's again, there will be different names on the team sheet at the start of next season. As in, there will be new recruits in that squad. I think it would be 1,000-to-1 shot that 11 starts in the first game of next season, because we will sign players. It's just a fact. But I have a hard time seeing Cameron Burgess not being in that starting 11. And I think that's the biggest compliment I can give him, and that he was a squad player in a League One side to, for me, a starting player in a Championship side. And if that's not improvement, I don't know what is.
Yeah, the game you're thinking of, it's Bristol Rovers, the game it was.
Yeah, it was a home game, sooner. I knew that.
Yeah, home game at Portland Road, yeah. Under the lights. And yeah, he was back less than a month for the Port Vale game, which is just incredible. So the 13th of September, he had the injury, and then the 25th of October, he came back, which is just incredible. Because I'm just looking at the picture now of, you know, his skull. And it's just, oh, bloody hell. Liam, I saw you sort of make a face when Bloom has mentioned Cameron Burgess. Is that what you're picking as well, most improved?
There's no other name. There cannot be any other name in that squad that you can really say would get ahead of Cam Burgess in this category. He has been, we looked at it last season. And he was brought in, I think, certainly as a squad player, help us get out of League One, kind of a very solid, no-nonsense type League One defender. But we always looked at Edmondson and Wolfenden as being our main two centre-halves. And then, of course, we bring in Keogh over the summer, and you think Burgess is going to get less and less game time. And actually, it's gone the complete the other way. And he's actually been a pivotal part of this squad. And from what Bloom has said, it's exactly true. I mean, he obviously does have those no-nonsense defence qualities, but his play on the ball this season is far improved from what we saw when he first came to the club. He looks so much more comfortable with the ball at his feet. And that's got to be testament to McKenna and what goes on the training ground. So, and obviously he's done that with pretty much all of the players in there. He will get obviously there are a lot of high profile players. We paid a lot of money for a few of them, but they're all going to reap that benefit from McKenna. But I think the biggest transformation has to be Cam Burgess. I also just want to take up Bloomers. Whoever that bookie is who's offering 1,000 to 1 for next year's team sheet, I'll put a couple of quid on that.
All right. We can have a gentleman's agreement outside of the podcast. I'm not going to give you an over-under, but if they're all, there's more of a chance of Sheffield Wednesday winning 5-0 on Thursday night than there is of all 11 players starting the first game of next season.
So which game was it then? So from the Fleetwood game or the... Because, of course, Sam Worsley didn't play in that game, so it has to be the Exeter game.
All right, the starting 11 from the Exeter game then, because I think that was the one that was the... That was the settled starting 11 for about 8 or 9 games. The one where Hurst is up front instead of Ladapo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That 11 is good, which is really nice because every team has that 11 you can name off the top of your head. And there'll be people listening in there. I won't say how old they are, but ones that are older, they could probably list the 11s from the 78 team or the 81 team. And we've never had that. And now Walton, Clark, Wolfenden, Burgess, Davis, Burns, Morsey, Luongo, Chapman, Broadhead, and Hurst. Will be our 11.
Yeah.
I set myself up for a failure there. I didn't do it.
That's not to say that I don't agree with your assertion that there will be probably some new names on the starting team sheet on the first day, but those odds are just too hard to resist. So
it's a fact of life, I guess, in like the footballing life. You know, like thing. Put it this way: the owners won't make us stand still. And you know, if we can't even win League One, despite the record, you know, the owners aren't going to think that we're going to make a top six challenge all of a sudden on the back of you know this. There'll be new recruits in. Hey, and like I say, might even be players going. Like you don't know. You just don't know. But things change. Cycles change. Cycles start and end. Trust the process. We can actually say that with a straight face for once.
Yeah, we can trust the process. Yeah, it will be interesting. It's going to be another fun summer, I'm sure. My most improved player. Now, Cameron Burgess is up there for me as well, and I think he's one of definitely. Do you know one which will be a surprise name for everyone out there? And okay, he had a good season last year, but you know what? Connor Chapman. Because if you think about it, he scored 11 goals last season, 9 in the league. And all right, we didn't have the Kieran McKenna football at the time. You know, McKenna came in December, but do you know what? He's doubled his goals from last season. But, you know, Connor Chapman was great last year, but I think this year he's really stepped up and he's scored more goals. He mentioned, like, he had purple patches in his footballing career, and he had that at the start of the season, didn't he? He had a bit of a purple patch and scored a few at the start of the season and didn't score, then he did. And, of course, he went on like a bloody train in the final 10, 15 games. But that's just a nice little curveball there, just to mention Connor Chapman, because I do feel he has improved. He's improved his game. And it's a few players in there who has improved their game. So just nice. Just another name to throw out there. Now, unsung hero bloomers. There's a few out there. Who are you giving this to?
I'll be quite quick now because I've realised we've got loads of categories left and a time limit on this podcast. This might be a bit of a surprising one, but I'm going to give it to Luke Wolfenden. I think we don't, especially with the academy being a contentious issue for some people, in that there are people that say that we don't create enough talent or we don't have enough talent in our squad. As a, you know, coming through as a hard guy, the fact that we've got this guy who is Suffolk born and bred is one of our best players, in my opinion, and is also, due to his age, one of the people that's the most likely to go on to better things. You know, we jokingly, that's not even jokingly really, say that he's a Rolls Royce of a defender. On his day, he can easily be, you know, he can make that leap to whatever the next leap is. I think for him, the sky's the limit, really, whether it's with us or if he moves on and a club decides, sort of like how Finn Downs has progressed, really.
You're selling all our players, Bloomers. You're selling all of them. Stop listening to Bloomers. He's selling Chaplin. He's selling...
Game off!
Appreciate Wolfie because, you know, he is also... been one of the ones that has improved massively, and it's probably the likes of, you know, Kieran McKenna, Richard Keogh coming in to give guidance in coaching, and just all of our general backroom coaching staff. But he's made that leap. Like, I think if Sam Morsey wasn't there, he could, you know, he's a very good standing skipper. We've given it to Christian Walton, I see, last game of the season for the Oliver Kahn type role, but yeah, I think Wolfie's again done fantastically well, and for those that say that the academy is not what it once was, well, him and a very, very promising Cameron Humphreys says otherwise.
Yeah, and of course Wolfenden has scored a few goals this season, has played pretty much nearly every game, and he's improved. Once again, he was so close to leaving the football club at one stage, and from where he's come from there to now, is just incredible. So I'm looking forward to him playing Chatham football with Ipswich Town, not any other clubs, Blooms. Without you going on. Look, Liam, who are you choosing for your unsung hero?
I don't think he's completely unsung, but I don't think he gets as much credit as he deserves. For me, it's Christian Walton. I mean, the guy won the Golden Glove. My friend here was also raising the question back in deepest, darkest winter about whether we should have the conversation about Hladke getting a run in the team. And look, I agree that Walton, especially after the Charlton game back in October, he had a few moments that he should have done a lot better on, and it did cost us a few points here and there. But overall, the amount of points that Walton has won us far outweighs the amount of points that he would have lost us from his own mistakes. And we talk about players who have been improving. I mean, Walton, you talk about Chaplin, for instance, and was relentless in that last run in with the amount of goals he scored. What about Walton and the relentless nature of what he did in that period? I mean, he saved the penalty against Cambridge, which could have seen us two down in that game. And would we have come back from that? Not sure, the way we were playing in that one. The bigger one for me is the penalty save at Bolton, which was a huge, huge save. And he's made other big saves throughout the season. But in that running, when the pressure is on, he was a rock at the back. As Bloomer said, the rest of the defence, that as a unit, they were fantastic. But when they were breached, more often than not, Walton came up with the goods. And a lot of people go on about, they think that Michael Cooper at Plymouth was better. Well, I don't think there's much in it between the two, to be honest. And obviously, in the end, Cooper got his injury, which probably stopped there being a race for the Golden Glove. But for me, I think Christian Walton doesn't get the plaudits that he does deserve to get.
Yeah, I'm going to be boring here. Walton is my choice. And some people say goalkeepers are not sexy, but they keep the ball out of the net most of the time. I know defence have been solid this year, but he has been fantastic, Walton. What a signing, by the way, back in, of course, his debut. We can see the 5 goals. Of course, that was a whole different team back then, but that was a terrible debut from him going on to do the things he's done, win Golden Glove and just be an incredible shot stopper. And he's one of our own players as well. He's not a loanee, because he was previously a loanee, but we signed him permanently in January, last season. And then, yeah, we've got him. I can't wait to see him in the championship as well. He's not had that chance, really, to play in the championship. So it'd be good to see how he does. And going on to signings, there's probably an obvious answer here, but you never know. This is over the summer and January, Bloomers. So who are you choosing?
I chose two, just because you could weight this category in different ways. I think, and these are the two obvious answers. Well, I think they're the two obvious answers as well. For impact, I think Nathan Broadhead, pound for pound, is the biggest signing, because he is almost single-handedly that bit of quality that we signed in January to get us over the line. I said on one of the game days I did with you, Ross, that is he the Marcus Stewart signing that was Stewart himself in 2000. I think looking back on it, it's hard to argue against it. I mean, the goals against Port Vale alone probably has won us promotion, because if you don't win that game, there's every chance we're sitting here doing a playoff preview or a second leg playoff preview. Thank Christ we're not. But I think since the start of the season, pound for pound, Leif Davis, and I don't think it's close. I think you look at, there was an Athletic article that was written today about him that says basically more than I ever could about how he fits into this team and what he's done, and how I think it's only Kevin De Bruyne and one other player, I can't remember it was, I did read the article, that's produced more assists than Leif Davis. And he's a left back. Let's not forget that. I know he doesn't play like a left back often in McKenna's system, and it'll be interesting to see whether he tries to sort of curtail Davis's role if we're in the championship, because obviously the space he offers behind him might get exploited on by quicker, more skillful, technically proficient championship teams. But again, one of them ones where it's just exciting to find out how he makes that step, because he's very good, Davis. I didn't even mean to do that. I just ran, he's very good.
He's very good. And that's actually another thing for the most improved section, the left side. That's been a massive improvement, from in recent years. I think that was always our sort of downfall, weren't it, last year, under Paul Cook and even McKenna. That was a weak link. We had Dominic Thompson and the rest. Or the Hayden Coulson at one stage.
Who's Dominic Thompson?
Yeah, I don't know, mate. A loanee we had back in the day.
You made that up.
I haven't made it up. There was a player on loan last season called Dominic Thompson.
Hang on. Yeah. Boomers can't remember Thompson.
No.
Fever dream, honestly. Like,
he was the one who... Wasn't he the one that was getting quite handsy with...
Cowleys, yeah.
The Cowleys against Portsmouth last year when it got a bit feisty.
I was wondering where that was going. I thought you have to be careful. Done for libel.
This is a family show as well. but that left side has been just... Even Greg Lee, we like that recruitment as well. I know he's had some of his injuries this season, Greg Lee, but he's come in and done pretty well. When Leif Davis had a little bit of a moment where he had an illness slash a little injury himself, but good decision. Liam from Crewe, while Bloomers gets over that, we had a player called Dominic Thompson. Who's your pick for best signing?
I mean, there's not much more really can be said, but it has to be Broadhead. You get what you pay for, and we certainly have with him. I mean, he is just class, isn't he? Hopefully next season, now that we will have him for a full season, he is going to be amazing, hopefully. League One, he's just walked through that 6 months, hasn't he, really? Hasn't even had to break sweat, and he's looked absolutely brilliant. But I think all the signings that we have made have all improved the squad in some way or form. But for me, Broadhead is the complete difference maker. We don't win at that Port Vale game. That Port Vale game on the Tuesday night at Portman Road. Now, I know that it's Broadhead that scores both, so it's actually a fact that if Broadhead hadn't actually signed, that we wouldn't win the game because he's the one who scored both goals. But for me, if he isn't in that team, we end up drawing, like, or at the very best, we probably end up drawing like we did with many games in the first half of the season and games last season where we just didn't quite have enough to get over the line. Whereas now with him in the team, he is that difference. And I can't wait to see what havoc he wreaks in the Championship.
Yeah, Broadhead right now is one of my favourite players. He's just, every time I watch him play, I just go, oh, he's beautiful. He's beautiful. And if I was, you know, 5-year-old, 10-year-old now watching Town, you know, you've got Wes Burns, Connor Chapman's as well, but Broadhead's just that something different, isn't he? Just that different level. So he's my pick for the best signings because just what a signing. To think he was on loan in the Championship at Wigan, who got relegated in the end, and then, you know, Everton probably just wanted, they knew they had to sell him, and Ipswich Town were happy to pay the bucks, and they got him. So best signing, Nathan Broadhead, Leith Davis, and all of the signings were made. It's been good recruitment from Kieran McKenna, Mark Ashton, Game Changer, and everybody. Good window. I'm looking forward to this summer. It's gonna be interesting this summer. Bring it on. Now, we've seen a lot of goals scored, Bloomers, but what is your favourite of the season? You can have a couple if you want, but if you can
pick one.
Well,
there's 101 to choose from.
There's a lot, yeah.
Choosing your favourite Dalmatian. to be honest, I said it was the one that would get us promoted when we had this discussion. I think we had the discussion before. Well, it must have been before it was official. There are two that stand out, and I was there for both of them. Luckily enough, we were there for both of them. It's Connor Chapman's first goal against Derby. The first goal, Connor Chapman's against Derby at Pride Park, just because I think, in pound for pound, that's one of the best goals I've ever seen him score. 9 seconds, three players, front to back. Like, it was perfect, perfection. And it had to be for that to go in that way. And then the second is George Hurst against Barnsley. And I'm going to give that the edge, not just because the man who I'm doing this pod with was next. Well, he wasn't next to me for long when we scored because there was limbs flying everywhere. But I think it's the goal itself is fantastic because it's a proper Daryl Murphy. I've said his name twice now. Daryl Murphy type goal where the physical strength to create the opportunity and then the efficiency to put it away was akin to what we saw from Murphy in that season where everything he touched went in. And I think more than that, it's the moment where we all just realized this is going to happen, isn't it? Like, this is it now. It's going to happen. It's just the sheer disbelief of nicking the goal to make it 1-0 a few minutes ago, which none of us in the ground celebrated because none of us realized it was in. I don't know if you were the other side, Ross, and you actually realized it was in. But if you ever watch that video back, there's about a 4-second delay between the goal going in, the players running off, and then the away end going mental because none of us realised it had gone in. And then, yeah, just what literally 90 seconds later, that goal going in. And it's special. It was a special. It's one of them ones you'll never, ever forget it. And I think for that reason, there might have been better goals scored. But you'd be hard pressed to find one for a Town fan than that.
Yeah, do you know, like, it was nice that Chapman, the third goal, was in front of the fans. But if that Hurst goal was in front of the away end, that would have been unbelievable.
I think I'd have been. I don't think I'd be here. I think I'd have had a heart attack if that was in. Yeah. Although yeah. It almost made it better that it was the other end, because you could see it so clearly, because you know, he had about 90 yards to run. You saw him shake off the defender. You, at least from our angle, you saw him make the space. You thought the ball had gone behind him, so you didn't. You thought the chance was gone, and then he just swings his right foot and just makes the sweet contact. And like, for not realizing that one went in, it's one of those ones where, because the ball smashes the back of the net, you know, it's like, you know, it's happened. And the place just nearly fell apart. Well, the place did fall apart.
Yeah, that was just incredible. 5,000 away fans just loving life, because they know it's nearly going to happen. And we pretty much knew it was going to happen, really. Liam from Crewe, 101 goals, as Bloom has said, to choose from. Which one are you picking?
I probably need to go first, because I'm going to say exactly the same. Except my favourite is Chaplin's at Derby. That goal from start to finish was just beautiful. Absolutely stunning goal. Starting with Walton, straight out to Broadhead, who obviously runs with it and then plays just a perfect cross diagonal, which Wes Burns, not known for his heading ability that much, just plants the ball perfectly to the feet of Chaplin, who just takes a lovely touch to dummy the defender and then shove it into the corner. Fantastic goal from start to finish. I mean, the second one wasn't bad either. But that, for me, it is the best goal, I think, of the season. But in terms of what Bloomers is saying, I'll tell you a little story about that second goal. Basically, at Barnsley, as he said, no one celebrated the first one until about 5 minutes after it happened, mainly because we just didn't see it happening. And it felt a bit weird, because everyone then kind of artificially had to get themselves up to celebrate a goal that we were still in a bit of shock, because we had no idea it had gone in. And then to have that happen only within a few minutes of that happening, the whole place went berserk. And this boy here, right, might not be the tallest, but
he's pointing to me, by the way.
He is strong upper body. And me and him ended up going over the row behind us. And then next minute, all I see as I'm pulling myself up from the floor is Bloomers has already sorted himself out and has left the row and run all the way down to the bottom to start jumping on other people that had suddenly congregated down near the barriers. So, absolutely nuts. And as Bloomers says, that is probably the goal that just completely opened everything up and made everyone suddenly have that kind of freedom to kind of say, that's it now, we've done it.
Very, 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 very quick honourable mention, because this is going to get completely lost to the sound of the time. Freddie Ladapo's goal against Charlton to make it 3-2 in the 90th minute. Mm-hmm. That, if we'd have won that game, we'd be talking about it so much more. He tries it a lot to shift it over the defender and hit a shot with the space that he's made. He doesn't do it every time. He did something similar against Fleetwood last game of the season. But the touch and finish was unbelievably good. And if it was a 90th minute winner away from home in front of that away end, we'd be talking about it so much more. But as it is, we all know what happened next. It's completely lost to the sands of time. But I hope Freddie looks back on that goal and realises how good it was, because it really, really was. Yeah. And he's had 20 to choose from himself, or 21 rather. So, well done, Freddie. That's a good goal. I haven't forgotten it, even if other people might.
There's a compilation out there. I think Kali Bisla who put that together, and I'm sure there's loads of other compilations and those other goals out there for people to watch. But there's some that are sort of forgotten about, maybe because of the game itself. Maybe, yeah, definitely the Charlton game. Because what happened and everything. My goal, that goals you mentioned are worthy winners. I loved Hurst's goal at Bolton. Just something about it. I was right in front of it as well. I got a nice celebration picture. As a photographer, that's what you want. But I just remember watching it over and over again, like going back, travelling back from Bolton. I just loved that goal. Good finish. Now a good strike goal. Now a Daryl Murphy goal as well, Bloomers as well. Because on the volley, boom. Just a good counter-attacking goal as well, because Wes Burns showed up his quality as well in that moment. So that's my pick.
It's an instinctive finish. That was beautiful. Having been there as well and just saw the swipe and then the ball into the corner, it was just, I mean, I say swipe, that's giving it like no credit whatsoever. I mean, it was just beautifully tucked first time from the cross. I mean, that is a quality striker there. And if he's confident, then he's going to score a lot of goals if we can get to keep him next season.
Yeah, watch this space there, German George Hurst. As I said, Liam said that first 11, Hurst, he's on that first 11, he's signed permanently. So we shall see. Now, final two categories. Try to do these quickly, boys, as we've still got the strike to do. And of course, we're going to sort of sum up four seasons in League One. We won't speak too much on it because it's just good that we're out of League One. But best game. I'm sure there's a lot of contenders here. Definitely the last few games of the season, but Loomis, what's your choice?
There's one contender, and that's it.
Yeah.
And there were 29,000 other people to celebrate it with. 6-0 against Exeter. I'll just say my own personal story of it, because everything else has been done to death in the celebrations afterwards. People will know if they know me, or it might have been said before. But very quickly, I was on a stag do in Budapest. That should have been going from Thursday, or it did go from Thursday to Sunday, but not everyone that was there on Thursday was there on the Sunday. After the Peterborough game, after the Barnsley game, actually more importantly, when we went 3-0 up, I was in the away end. I booked my flight home on the Saturday morning at 6 a.m. and booked my hotel room in Ipswich for the Saturday night. Had to explain to the stag, who was extremely understanding, why I was doing what I was doing, and there was enough forfeits to be had that I got my just desserts, if you like. But I was awake for 48 hours, got 6 a.m., got back into the hotel room in Hungary at 2 a.m., woke up at 3 a.m., got a 6 a.m. flight to Stansted at 10 a.m., got the bus and then train to Ipswich for about 11:45 a.m., went early check-in, shower, shave, hair, come out again, go to the Halberd, and then get to watch what we watch with my best friend, my dad, and the celebrations afterwards. An emotional, quivering wreck by 11 o'clock on the Saturday night, but I nearly forgot it because I had about enough alcohol to down a small elephant over 48 hours. But yeah, that was my story. And weeks like that don't come around often. If indeed ever again. So what a weekend that was.
Things you do for the football club you love, leaving a stag do early and do all the travelling, all the bits and bobs, is just what you do. And yeah, that's my choice as well. I'm sorry, Liam. Liam wasn't there, so he's just inside right now. But
it would have been, if it all gone pear-shaped, Derby away.
Yes.
Mainly for the win. Everyone was thought that was it. We're going to do it now. And yeah, there was six of us there sharing it together. And Liam was there, I think.
Was there?
Yeah, he was.
He was there.
I second guessed myself.
He sorted out the Airbnb. But yeah, I'm quickly, Liam. I'll just, mine's Exeter as well, because just to be pitch side and just to finally see a team win promotion. It was just lovely to see. I know it's only League One and all that, but we won't get into that. But it was a great day. And lovely weather, six goals, pitch invasion, all that sort of stuff. It was a great day. Liam from Crewe, won't get into the reason why you weren't there, but what's your choice?
I don't know what day you're talking about, to be honest. Briefly, yes, I saw Bloomers book his flight at 2-0. Hadn't even gone 3-0 at that stage. It was 2-0 when he booked the flights, I'm sure.
Oh, no, I had it in my basket at 2-0. I clicked the button at 3-0.
And then he booked the hotel in the car on the way back. Yeah. So I did see him do that. For me, would have loved to have been there, but I had family commitments that I couldn't get out of. So maybe not as good a fact. Well, yeah. I'm easygoing. I don't want to be nagged. I did pull a few faces to my dad, so I did show my disgust. But for me, the game, for me, the best one I've been at this season was the 3-2 win over Pompey all the way back in October, late September, early October, I think it was, where both teams had started like a train on fire. And obviously Pompey ended up not being our direct opponents, I guess, for promotion. But at the time, they were unbeaten, we were unbeaten, and we beat them 3-2. It was a really tough game. I mean, they came back twice at us in that game. I think there were two penalties, actually, which I remember now. But we got the win, and for me, I think that was the first time where people started to actually think that this season could be the real deal, because we had beaten one of the informed sides, and we had actually won a game against a big side that we thought we were going to compete with. Obviously, they fell away, but that they were the roots, I think. That win was the beginning of what ended up to be a great season.
Yeah, that was one of the first statement wins, weren't it, at Horton Road. Against a team that we've had some annoying results against, but also we're beaten at Fratton Park a few times. So, but yeah, definitely up there. So the final category on the main categories is the best away games, and it's been really mentioned anyway. I think Bloomers probably maybe Derby away would be on there for me. Like for me, Derby away is it because of the result the weekend. We did a Caraway posse little Airbnb night out in Derby. It was a great night, a great weekend as a whole. But Bloomers, you got another one, or is Derby the one for you?
Yeah, Charlton away for me. No, yeah. I'm joking.
Eight goals.
Eight goals. Although you'd have missed four of them if you'd have left on 90 minutes. For me, it has to be Barnsley. I wasn't there at Peterborough. I was in a different country. So I only got to witness it on iFollow. Barnsley was special. The pictures that you got of the away end, like, it just looks magical. That doesn't happen for League One clubs very often, if ever. The result that just put it almost beyond doubt, and being able to see faces that I've seen recently many times, and I saw faces I hadn't seen in years, and everyone was just in a state of delirium. And the 3.5-hour cab ride home by Liam that was detoured, maybe it might have been my fault. That didn't even sour it either. And I felt sorry, Liam, for the two lads in the back who I'd never met, because me and you probably chatted so much absolute tosh on that way home because we were so giddy. And yeah, that was special. So Barnsley by a country mile for me, but I've got a feeling Peterborough might be up there for those that went.
Yeah, Liam, you went to all three of those that have been mentioned. Mm-hmm. Derby, Peterborough, Barnsley. Is there any other ones? Bolton, of course. That's a cold day.
Did pretty much all the big ones. I mean, I'll echo what Bloomer said about Barnsley. It was a great, great night. And for me, obviously, having missed out on the party at Portman Road on the weekend, that win that night was when promotion was settled. Yeah, we still had to beat Exeter, but to have got over that massive hurdle against one of the most informed teams in the league at the time, and a team who are pretty formidable at home, that was the night, I think, when we may not have mathematically done it until the weekend, but that was the night when Town had pretty much sorted out automatic promotion. But the best weekend has to be Derby, because it was just brilliant. I mean, a few of us all stayed in their Airbnb. I was there, Bloomers. I sorted it all out. but it was brilliant. And we had that pub right next to us, which was absolutely fantastic. You had your interaction with the dog.
I found that pub. Just want to point that out.
Yes. Well done, Bloomers. That was a great find.
Mark Job found that pub. Shout out to both of us.
That was a great find. Nice kind of lock-in breakfast on the Saturday morning, which was brilliant. So, yeah, really good weekend had by everyone. And obviously the result obviously just made it even more special. So, But we've had some really, really good away days in this last couple of months of the season. So there's quite a few to choose from.
Yeah, it's been a memorable season all around. At Porton Road, away from home, it's been a good season. And I'm sure there's going to be memories. I know it's even just there's been a few people I've bumped into, listeners with their sons or their daughters or just in general their family, and just going, oh, you know, this season, just so many memories of staying over and going to different, like, ticking off grounds. Like, the thing we've gone, I was lucky enough to be one of the few that went to Bracknell Town in the FA Cup. That was a weird experience, but a great experience. Wings and Tings and all that. I met one of their fans who had red face paint, which was great. Were you there, Bloom, as well?
I met that fan too. He came up to me and my friend when we were in there was a bar, a temporary bar behind one of the goals, and we had our itchy scarves on, and we didn't ask him to. He came up to us and shook our hand and had a quick chat with him. He was mad as a box of frogs, but good luck to the fella. I hope he had a good night. It was certainly different. I did a picture on my Twitter that was the entrance to the away end that went a bit viral because it's literally just a muddy bank. And we had fresh white trainers on, the pair of us. But yeah, God, I can't even believe that's the same season. Things blend into one.
Yeah, I think we played Bracknell Town in the FA Cup and also played Buxton at Porton Road in the next round. And we drew against Burnley 0-0 at Porton Road. And of course, we went to the replay and we only lost 2-1. They scored like late on to win the game against Vincent Kompany's unbelievable Burnley side. So, and we won FA Cup games, which is just great. And we won on Sky this season. So it's been a great season overall. Bloom, as you said, you may have a final category. What is it?
Yeah, this is the outstanding award for achievement in the Kings of Anglia podcast section. And the nominees are Ross Halls for all his work behind the scenes. Ross Halls for putting the Band of Merry Men together. And Ross Halls for giving up his evenings, nights, mornings and lunchtimes, keeping us all entertained in the pod chat, whether he means to or not, for his extracurricular work in trying to pass his driving test. So, Liam, can you give us who the award winner is, please?
Well, it has to go to Ross Halls because of everything that Bloomers has said. It's been brilliant since we set this up during COVID. And it's just got stronger and stronger ever since. The only thing now that will just complete it and make you the best person that's ever lived is if you can actually get your bloody driving licence. Sorry, I'm not getting angry about that.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bloomers.
He's going to stitch us up for the strike now.
Yeah, that is up next. But yeah, thank you very much for Bloomers. That was very nice of you. And shout out to everyone who comes up to me at home games, away games, and asks me, "Have you passed it yet?" And I normally sheepishly go, "No," but hopefully, you never know, guys. Next
you'll
time,
get there.
I'll get there. We'll get there. We won't get into it. We've got the strike though. Let's jump right into that, and then we're going to end the pod, sort of summing up League One as a whole for four seasons. Four questions plus a tiebreaker. The questions aren't actually based on our League One campaign because we're actually going to bring you a live, or maybe not live, but we'll bring you a basic quiz later in the week to sort of sum up the whole season as a whole. So tune in for that later on in the week. So got four questions plus a tiebreaker. First question is on Dominic Thompson. I'm joking, Bloomers. I'm joking. But question one is actually on a club legend who would have been celebrating his 70th birthday this month, and that is Paul Mariner. I'm sure he's up there smiling down on Ipswich Town winning promotion, finally out of League One, and Plymouth, fair play to them for winning the league title. So I'm sure that is one man that is very happy up there smiling down at his former clubs. But yeah, he'll be 70, would have been 70 this month. How many goals did Paul Mariner score in 339 games? Course before all of our times, but what a man he was, Paul Mariner. Of course, as always, bang on, 2 points, closest gets the point.
You see that 130
goals. Okay,
I've either really undersold him or oversold him. I don't know which. 173.
Ooh,
I did 123,
three.
But I've
crossed
it out.
Ooh, will you regret that? I need to find the answers, actually. I've got it now. Yeah, someone's very close, though. Someone's so close. They're five off. It's 135. So Liam and crew gets the point. Very close there. Question two is on André Dazelle. Also celebrates his birthday this month. Now, what is André Dazelle's middle name? Is it Jason, Leon, or Wayne? Is he named after his daddy's middle name? Is it Leon or Wayne? So André Jason Dazelle. André Leon Dazelle. André Wayne Dazelle.
I'm saying Jason.
Well, to be different, because I've gone Leon then.
It is Leon. I've done a curveball there, Liam. I've done a curveball there. I just thought, you've got to put Jason in.
And Liam swung for it.
He did. But you've gone to the right. You said you want to do a different option. You didn't go Wayne, but you went Leon. And Leon is the correct answer. So 1-1, going to question three. Question three is on Marcus Bent. Also celebrates his birthday this month. Another blast from the past, striker-wise. He joined town from which club in 2001? Was it Blackburn, Sheffield United, or Crystal Palace? Fun fact, he played for all of these clubs at one stage, so there we go.
But this one came to my head before the answers came out, so okay. I have to stick with it.
Okay.
I'm going to say Palace.
Yeah.
You're both incorrect. It is Blackburn he signed from. He actually, he was at Brentford, and then his first Premier League club was Palace.
So, and then he went to Leicester, didn't he, after...
Leicester and then Everton as well after that, so I think he went on loan to Leicester and then he went and signed for Everton. Still 1-1 going into question four, which is on a player from the past, not too past, but a player that I don't think not many people will want to try to remember during a period of when we were really, really shit. Let's put it out there. Nigel Riococca. What shirt number did he wear at town? Was it 17, 23, or 25?
He says about you, Ross.
Wow. I didn't say he was shit. I just said that this is the period where he was shit.
In the stands, we used to call him Nigel Mediocre. So
yeah.
I was on 17. 17.
25.
17. You're both wrong. It's 23.
That's my lucky number as well.
There we go.
So
tiebreaker. We are needing the tiebreaker this week. Yeah. So that is it's exciting. Bloomers, you're a Bury boy, and now Cole Skuse is the manager of Bury Town. Congrats to Cole for his new job and also a fantastic career. I know his time at Town maybe ended not the way he wanted, but I think a player that I thought was okay. I thought he was an okay player. And, you know, he made over 660 appearances during his career. But how many goals did he score? In total, he scored two goals for Town. So did he score more for Bristol City and Colchester? So, and of course, you got to get it. Well, actually, whoever's closest wins. If you get it bang on, then well done to you.
I bet he was like a striker in...
I'm saying 10.
10.
Where are we? There we are. 13.
Ooh, I'm happy someone went. I'm happy you didn't go too close. The correct answer is my lucky number, my favourite number. Do you know my favourite number, guys?
No.
No.
Never brought that up in the car.
No. So what was your lucky number then, Bloomers, did you say?
23. It's my 23. Birthday.
Okay. What's yours, Liam? You got a lucky number?
My one will be 21 for my birthday.
That's how old Liam is. Oh, okay.
I wish.
He wishes. But no, my lucky number is 12, and that is the answer. So Bloomers wins from one off. So there we go. Another strike in the bag. As I said, there's going to be a strike later in the week with some other KOA guys. Looking through the season of League One, So stay tuned for that. But Bloomers, you've won, my friend. Your thoughts on winning the strike this week?
My thoughts are I need to get down to Ram Meadow next season to see Cole Skuse's Tricky Blues in action. And I don't know if there is a sports book doing Bury Town signings, but what's the odds that Luke Chambers is playing Bury Town next season? Throw that one out there.
Yeah,
well, I remember who the director of football is at Bury Town. Actually, I don't know if neither of you will know that. But the director of football at Bury Town is another Town player. Yes, Alan Lee.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
So with him, Cole Skuse and Carlos Edwards, as of last season, still playing for Bury Town. We're only a couple away from a decent five-a-side thing who can play up the rugby club's 3G pitch if they've still got it. So, look out for that near you soon.
Yeah, it's always interesting that when former players go back to like local clubs. I know he's only down at Colchester, Cole Skuse last season.
It's rare they go down to Step 4, which is what Bury Town is. So that's 3 below the Conference, 2 below the Conference South. So, it's certainly a muck and nettles league, of which the Bury does have their little division. Bury gets the best average attendance. So it's not just Ipswich fans that bleat on about their average attendance at the moment.
Yeah, but no, good old Bury Town. And of course, they're another team, actually, just like Ipswich Town. They've not had many managers, have they? I think they've only had like a couple, like Ben Chenery, then another guy.
Ben Chenery was there for years and years. It's a steady setup down there. There was a period about 10 years ago where they really pushed to get in the Conference South. Didn't quite happen. The money sort of dried up, and we now find ourselves in Step 4. But yeah, Bury's obviously a town very close to my heart, but certainly a team close to my heart as well. And Ipswich have a massive connection with them as well for the amount of friendlies we've played against them over the years when we send out young sides and whatnot for various games. And obviously Simon Milton's from Bury Town and Gavin Johnson too. Yeah. Anyways, let's move on. I realise we ran over already and we've got one more section.
Yeah. Yes, we have ran over. We were going to do this as a 45-minute pod, but to be fair, with no Ipswich Town football, it's an opportunity for you to enjoy your runs, your walks, your car drives into work, or whatever. You've got a good hour.
No pressure. No worry about football.
No, all right, don't
worry. Leave that to Everton and Leicester fans.
Yes, and, you know, teams in the playoffs and that stuff.
It's 2-0 Liverpool, by the way.
Screen next to me.
Okay. Of course, by the time this is out, people will know the score, but there we go. Well, League One tour is over. It was originally going to be a one-season tour that went into two, went into three, and went into four, boys. Bloomers, how would you sum it up in a few words? Four seasons, two pools, Super Kieran McKenna knows exactly what we need. How'd you do it?
Long. Very long, because on a personal level, this shows my growth since August 2019. I had to think about it then. That weekend, the first weekend of the season, 2019-20, we played away at Burton. And I couldn't go because me and my then girlfriend were moving in for the first time together. And I say then girlfriend, because in the, how are we now, nearly four years since we bought our own place, we now have a cat, we're engaged, and we're getting married in a couple of years' time. What else is there? I've had two different jobs. what else has happened? Oh, sat through God knows how much football, how many rubbish iFollow games, especially during the COVID season, four different strips bought, thousands of pounds wasted, hundreds of pounds not wasted, especially this season. Thousands of beers drunk whilst lamenting the two pools and the other pool. I don't know, too many pools. Too many pools spoil the broth. It's been a long, long 4 years, and I never thought I'd be fucking over the moon seeing Birmingham away on a Tuesday night in the fixture list, but here we are. And if we can get my old hometown Coventry gets to stay in the Championship, there'll be one happy person here, because we've actually played the Rico since I went to Coventry, which was 11 years ago. So rolled on the Championship and the bog standard fixtures that we've actually missed, and some of the away games and weekends that we can plan that on paper sound like a fantastic tour schedule with Birmingham, Cardiff, Swansea, probably Leeds, Bristol. And that's just off the top of my head. We won't even mention those up the road. Bring on the Championship next season.
Yeah, bring it on. International breaks as well and all that sort of stuff. Liam from Crewe, you've...
Well, we have them anyways. We just, you know, yeah. We've got a couple of Jamaican contacts that allow us to have international pictures in League One. These things happen when you're a big club.
Yeah, it does. It does. But yeah, bring it on. Liam from Crewe, you've had an interesting time following the club. If people don't know already, you're with your accent, you are Northern, and you know, you've got a different club as well. And you lived in Scotland for a very long time, but you sort of became a fan during the 2018-2017. You know, Paul Hurst, that was your first season ticket season, weren't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then you joined
Why
us.
Why are you still here?
You give me a lot of praise. A lot of people give me a lot of praise, but Liam from Crewe deserves a little bit as well. And to be fair, all you guys listening, everyone out there deserves it, because some people have been able to stay on this ride because, yeah, why would you move away? You know, why would you stop supporting a club that you support for all of your lives because they're in League One and we've seen rubbish? But for you to stay on, Liam, and go to away games, all the, like, you've been to Fleetwood, you've been to Plymouth, you've been to Morecambe, you've been to Sunderland, you've been all over the place. You've been part of this journey as well. So props to you, my friends. But how would you sum up? As Luma said, it's been long, a lot of life experiences he's you know, had in those 4 years. I'm sure you've had loads of life experiences. We've spent many, many hours in the cars together. I've probably seen you more than my missus sometimes. But yeah, four seasons of League One, mate. How would you sum up?
Well, I mean, I'll sum this up. The first three seasons of being a season ticket holder included first season Championship relegation, after a mate said to me, get a season ticket, you love your football, new era and all that. And I saw two wins all season, which was backed by two goals, both 1-0 wins, and then missed the best game probably the entire season in the dead rubber against Leeds on the last day. And then went into League One, off to a great start, then went rapidly downhill very quickly. Then COVID hit, and then we didn't see the end of the season. Then I have a whole season having to watch on iFollow and not be even in the ground. So that summed up my first three seasons as a season ticket holder. And I have continued to do it. As you say, since COVID, I wanted to do more away games. I wanted to go and travel. And obviously, in those times, I mean, getting a ticket, I mean, you could hardly give them away, to be honest. So it's quite easy to nab a ticket, unlike some of the events this season. So it was quite uncharted territory. But I'll tell you something, I wouldn't change it. Wouldn't change it for the world. I mean, I've met some absolutely brilliant people in this last 5 years of watching Ipswich. All the 4 years of the obviously the League One campaigns and obviously that 1 year in the Championship. And I mean, I've got now friends for life from all this. And obviously, I feel... I'm not an Ipswich native, and I do have a few other football clubs, which are widely known. But I feel very strongly connected to this club from everyone that I've met. And it has been one hell of a ride. But in the end, it's turned out to be one of the best so far in my life, I would say.
Oh, Liam,
well said, mate. Well said. That shows the strength of this club, because I say not many. Yes, you'll get fans come back if there's a good season, but for the level that we're on after nearly 20 years of rubbish is testament. And look, we're never going to be Man. Well, unless the same people that have Man City buy us, we're never going to be Man City. You know, we're probably never going to be Brighton or Brentford, and unless you know you win the lottery and have that incredible recruitment. But just to be on the level that we are now is, you know, beyond our wildest dream. Well, you look at 2 years ago, if we're adding more stats to what I said earlier, I can probably say number of rants I've had is about 15 as well on this on this platform. And there's one that I did at the end of Evans's reign. I'll have to dig it out and put it on my Twitter over the next few days. So if you want to see it, it's that user handle right there at Tier Jones School Bloomfield. But I went on a bit of a 2-minute diatribe about the death throes of the Evans era. And that is just over 2 years ago. That difference is enough to make a grown man cry. And he has on multiple occasions over the last few weeks. It's great to see. And look, if we finish 14th next season, and this is a lesson to myself as well as anyone else, to not lose your head, because touch wood, and there's plenty of it around me on this desk, we're not going to be in the position we were in League One, rotting away. And the sky is the limit. And for now, while we're in the postseason with nothing to do, let's just enjoy thinking about our title charge next season, whether it does or doesn't come. Because, the odds are it'll be the latter. But look, it's about the journey, not the destination. Although it is about the destination. And that destination is the championship.
You know that Snickers advert, "You're not you when you're hungry." Yeah. I mean, this podcast would not be what it is without you being angry. So, it is refreshing to see you smile and be
happy. I'm the least angry person you've ever met.
Some of those takes are just...
And I'm the most angry, placid person you've ever met.
Charlton away still from last season, still... It is still right up there for me. What a rant that was. And almost taking on single-handedly the stewards at the same time. Just brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, it has been a journey, boys. The amount of, a big shout out to everyone who has contributed, who has listened just through the League One campaign. I'm just looking forward to bring content for Championship football, because we sort of started this podcast during the Championship era, but not doing fan social and game day and stuff. It was still very early in my career. I was still very early. I know Stu and Andy and Heathy were doing content, doing podcasts, but I was still very young and not really getting myself out there. But with what we've grown in the last 4 years in League One, is incredible. And I just can't wait for the Championship. And we want more voices as well. We want to get more people involved. So if you want to get involved, get your voice. If you've never tried this sort of thing before, there's no pressure. But if you fancy it, get in contact with me, Rossman in the UK, Kings of Anglia on the socials. Great to get you. Your voice is heard and to see some Championship football. Bloom is Liam. Thank you, as always. Any other business, any other notes, any other shout-outs want to mention?
Go on then. We're all behind Cali. We're all behind Cali Thistle in the Scottish Cup final. Liam's on the pod. We might not have a chance to do it until they lose to Celtic. But if you don't know, Liam's other muse, other than Manchester United, is Inverness Caledonian Thistle, the club that he lived in that city for many a year. And just like Ipswich, a small team upsetting the big boys every now and then. And they find themselves somehow like an elephant up a tree in the Scottish Cup final. No one knows quite sure how they got there. Especially considering they got kicked out of the bloody competition.
Yeah. We're still in it. We're still in it, thanks to having really good administrators who don't decide to put ineligible players down for the game. Otherwise, we had lost the game actually 2-0 until they got kicked out.
Losing the cup game, that other team getting kicked out due to the ineligible player. Cali now in the final, playing Celtic at Hampden. Do we reckon 10,000 Inverness fans will be there?
That's how much have been given. So hopefully there will be a full 10,000. But it's not the biggest of clubs. So it may not completely sell 10,000. We'll see. And as it's Celtic, they will definitely nab up any extra seats. Although there is a worry at the moment. The general tickets go out tomorrow, so I'll be getting in on that. There is a worry that Celtic fans may even try and get through Cali's general admission tickets to try and just get a ticket. So there could be a few Celtic fans in our end as well, which probably won't be very good. Luckily, we're not Rangers. Otherwise, that would be a problem.
No one,
but it'll be a great day out.
Yeah, no one likes Celtic. So let's all pray for Caliwin, just so we can see the headline one more time. The most famous newspaper headline ever written when Cali beat Celtic decades ago. I think it might have even been in the cup. And the headline is Super Cali, go ballistic. Celtic are atrocious.
Yeah. And that was at the time the biggest cup shock in or was dubbed one of the biggest cup shocks in Scottish Cup history. If Cali were to win this in the final, also, it would be even bigger than that. I mean, we were still a first division club at that time when we did beat them, but John Barnes' Celtic was a lot different to Ange Postecoglou's Celtic that are currently sweeping everyone before them with an influx of Asian players. So essentially, if we can keep it respectable, then we're probably doing well. But if we can nab it, then it would be just absolutely huge. And a European tour as well.
And thank you for joining the Inverness Caledonian Thistle podcast.
Yes.
We'll be back next week.
Yeah, if you're just tuning in now, I don't know why you would tune in an hour and 16 minutes in, but this is an Ipswich Town podcast, Kings of Anglia and all that. But yeah, thank you very much. Best of luck to Inverness for their cup final against Aster. 3rd of June, is it right? 3rd of June?
Yes, it is.
3rd of June.
Half 5 kickoff because of the bloody FA Cup.
Yes, of course.
Oh, no, same day? Same day?
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. What a day it could be for you, or what a bad day it could be for you.
Yeah, it could be a horror day.
Could be.
At least I get to see both.
Yes, very true. Well, Bloomers, Liam, thanks for joining me. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to another Fan Social. Of course, we're bringing you more videos, podcasts throughout the off-season, as we said, to keep you entertained. And as ever, shout out to our sponsors, Manscaped. Use code KOA to get 20% off and free delivery to your crown jewels and all that jazz. And of course, for your marketing needs, your Google ads, check out Ginger Pickle. Shout out to Tony Southgate. He assisted me very well in Holland for the interviews with four fine Dutch players from the past. They'll be coming out throughout the off-season as well. So some more content for you to watch and listen. As always, follow us on our socials, Kings of Anglia, on all the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. As I said, follow Bloomers and Liam on Twitter as well to get their thoughts on all things Town. As I said, thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.